Shalom uvracha. Welcome back, everybody. This week's parsha is Parshas Vayichi. Shavuot Chazak. We close out the book of Bereishis once again. Wow. And Parshas Vayichi, the current closes on Bereishis with the death of Yaakov Avinu. Quite compelling that the only two parshiot in the book of Bereishis that have the word life in them, Chayei Sarah and Parshas Vayichi, deal with death of our great forefathers and foremothers. And Parshas Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah. Sarah and Avram die, and in Parshas Vayechi, and he lived, Vayechi Yaakov Ber Tutsayim Shvar Shvei Shana, Yaakov died, which reminds us, as the Gemara teaches, the Maseches Brachos, Yod Ches, Tzadikim, Apa Misasim, Nekram Chayim, the righteous, even in death, are considered alive, because their legacy lives on forever and ever and ever, and that is the Mesorah, and the Torah, and the ways of life that they transmitted to Knesset Yisrael. In Parshas Vayechi, before Yaakov Avinu dies, he gives each of his children a unique bracha, each of the Shvatim in Perek Mem Tes. He calls them all around his bedside. And he first wants to bikesh Yaakov the Galus Isaketz, says Rashi. He wants to tell them when Mashiach will come, when the Geula will come. However, when Nistalkom imenu, Kosh Baruch Hu took that koch away from him, and instead he gave them brachos. I believe we quoted last year that Rabbi Zavlov explains that the way to bring Mashiach, the way to bring the kates, is to tell everyone their own unique kochos. When you tell a person his koch and he becomes the best Jew, the best person, the best Eved Hashem he can be, that will bring Mashiach. Today, this year, I want to quote from the Sefer Shalom Rav, Insights by Rabbi Shalom Rosner on the Parsha. Right. Shalom Rav, Volume 1. Many of Yaakov's brachos, says Rabbi Shalom Rosner, to his sons don't actually appear to be brachos. In fact, it seems that Yaakov rebuked some of them. For example, if you look at the brachos of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, it seems to be that they are rebuked. Reuven is pachas kamayim, alisa of mishka ve'avicha. And by Shimon and Levi, kei chamas mecharaseim, are these brachos? And in fact, we know Rashi tells us that when it comes to the bracha of Yehuda, he starts to move back. He sees how Yaakov spoke to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He says, uh-oh, says Yehuda. Meanwhile, Yehuda's where are you, Yehuda? Mi kayemena. But Yehuda first thinks he's going to be rebuked too. What exactly are these statements of Yaakov Avinu? So he quotes the great Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal, the Alei Shur, who answers with a powerful lesson. The greatest bracha anyone can receive is the realization and recognition of who they are and their own strengths and weaknesses. I'm going to repeat that again. The greatest bracha anyone can receive is not necessarily false compliments and not false flattery. The greatest bracha anyone can receive is the quote, the realization and recognition of who they truly are. Their own individual, unique strengths and also their weaknesses. Yaakov made sure to inform each of his children of their own unique characteristics. And Yaakov's message to his sons before his departure was, if you know who you are, you can first improve yourselves and then build yourself to be the best person you can possibly be. Therefore, he told his children, Rabbi Rosner continues, this is who you are. So far, you have not reached your potential, but if you know who you are, you can work on it. Look at who Levi became, for example. Levi became the greatest of all Shvatim. Levim and Kohanim come from Levi. Avodas HaMishkan, Avodas Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov told Levi who he was. Levi, you have tremendous passions. You have tremendous kochos. Don't channel them for violence. Channel them to build up Klal Yisrael. And Levi capitalized on this. He took it to heart. It was constructive criticism. And sometimes what Rabbi Rosner is saying, quoting the great Alei Shur of Rabbi Zatzal, is that when we hear constructive criticism and we are humble enough and wise enough to accept the constructive criticism, that itself is the greatest bracha. Then Rav Volbi quotes Chazal, and Chazal tells us when we go up to Shemayim after 120 years, three angels greet us and they ask us for our name. If we say we don't know what our name is, Chazal say we are beaten by the angel. This is where the Shlaz custom comes to recite a pasuk at the end of Shemona Esrei that corresponds to one's name. There is a custom. My name is Micha Chava, so my two psukim are Matova Lacha Yaakov Mishkan Asach Yisrael and Chagra Ba'oz Masneh Vata Meitzro Seha Matova Lacha Yaakov, of course, from the Nevuah of Bilam, Perach of Da'ad Abba Midbar, and Chagra Ba'oz Masneh is from Mishlei 31. What we call the Eishes Chaya. So some of you, I'm sure, have a custom before you take the few steps back also to say the psukim that correspond to your name or names. The first letter that begins with your name, the last letter that ends your name. So for example, Michal, Matova Lacha Yaakov, Mishkan Asach Yisrael, begins with a mem, ends with a lamed. My second name is Chava. My pasuk from Mishlei, Chagra Bos Masneva, Tameitzu Asaha, begins with a ches and ends with a hey. So why do we have a custom to recite these psukim before our name? The pshat is that when we get to the Yeshiva Shama after 120, Ayilanu Kichotanu, it's going to be so frightening, it's going to be so scary, I'm not going to have anything to answer for all the virus that are playing back, for all of my Midas Magunos that are playing back on the screen. I'm not even going to know what to say, I'm not going to be open to open my mouth. Right? What does the pasuk say when they meet Yosef for the first time? If the brothers couldn't even answer Yosef because they were so astonished when they find out he's a viceroy, how are we going to answer the Ribbono Shel Olam on the day of the year? We're going to forget everything. We're going to have nothing to say. There won't be a pishchon peh. So the Shlach says we should recite a pasuk at the end of Shemon Meser that corresponds to our name. This will help us. If we don't remember anything else, if we have nothing else to say in the Shiva Shema, when they ask us our name, I'm going to be able to say, wait, Matov Eliachal Yachal, it's going to say Israel, begins with a mem and ends with a lamem. My name is Michal. Chagor Be'ez Masneh, my name is Chava. What is so special about our name that will be our defense in the Yeshiva Shema? What's the significance of remembering our name? And if we forget it, we are beaten. Rav Wolbe explains it means we forget who we are. No, I'm sorry. That it means we forget who we are or we never even knew our essence. Because a name reflects the essence of a person, our true nature. The angels will ask us in the Beis Din Shema, what is your essence? Meaning, what was your focus in life? It's very interesting. I just realized something in Shir the other day that never struck me before. It's well known that the word neshama, the soul of a person, the middle two letters of neshama, of course, spell shame. Nun, shin, mem, hey. The essence of a person is their name, their shame, and the neshama is a reflection of a person's name, or the name is a reflection of a person's neshama. The shame represents the essence of a person, who a person is. But I realized that the word neshama is spelled nun shem mem he. So the middle two letters spell shame because a person's essence is their name, and the nun and the he, we could say, stand for ner Hashem. Like the pasuk tells us in Mishlei, ner Hashem, nishmas Adam, it's gevaldik. Nishama, nun, shin, mem, hey. The middle two letters spell shame, a person's name. The outer two letters, nun and hey, stand for ner Hashem, because ner Hashem, the candle of God, the flame of God, the burning passion for God, is nishmas Adam. And that is what your name reflects. And so the angels are actually asking us in Shemayim, what was your focus in life? What's your essence? Who are you? What's your name? And if we can't even remember our name, maybe it means we never even knew who we were in the first place. Rav Shalom Rosner teaches, we have to look within ourselves, discover the midot that define us. Rav Wolbe then quotes the great Rav Yeruchim Levavitz Zatzal, who says we each possess core attributes that affect all of our other midos. For example, if someone's midah is MS, truth, that could have a ripple effect on how he davens, how he gives tzedakah, how he conducts himself in business. Sometimes a person's root, however, can be a negative midah, like kas, anger. And then the role is not to let that kas have a ripple effect in a positive way, but rather to control, to overcome, to channel, so we can best fulfill our mission on this earth with the package we were given. I recently heard something very interesting from Rabbi Zev Lef, and he said that every midah can be used for positive or negative. The midos are not inherently good or bad. They're neutral. It's how you channel them. So, for example, how could gaiva be channeled for the good? Gaiva is a midah meguna. But if you have gaiva in your avodas Hashem, people are mocking you. They're making fun of you for doing mitzvos. They're making fun of you for benching with a sitter. They're making fun of you for davening. They're making fun of you for being medaktik on zman kriya shema. They're making fun of you for not talking lashon hara. You should have gaiva. You should have pride in the mitzvos, and you should have gaiva l'shem shemayim. So you see, every midah can be used for positive or for negative. If we have a positive midah, we should let affect everything else in our life. If we have a negative midah, we must overcome and channel it. Reuven's midah was to move too quickly. Yaakov says, Reuven bechori ata pachas kamayim alisa mishkevei avicha. He's referring to Perek Lamed. Hey, when Reuven switched the bed from the tent of Bilhah to the tent of Leah. Pachas kamayim, you're hasty like water. However, that can be used to act rashly, says Rav Rosner. But it could also be used to channel to do something good, like Zrizus Makdim in the mitzvos. But Nizdar is the mitzvah by Avram Avinu. A person may have intense anger. Rather than becoming a murderer, he can channel that desire into positive action. He could be a mayel, a shochet, or a surgeon, like the Gemara tells us. The brachos of Yaakov, therefore, Rav Rosner concludes, were revelations to his children. He was revealing to them who they are. He told them what their root midah was. And that is the ultimate blessing. And that is why all of them are called Birkas Yaakov, even those that don't appear on the surface to be blessings. Yaakov defined each tribe and transmitted to each son what his powers were. And through that, each tribe could accomplish and fulfill its own unique potential. We have to understand that we are Knesset Israel. We are made up of so many different people. We all have unique attributes. We have midos megunos. We have midos tovos. The midos megunos we must overcome. But first we have to identify those midos so that we can overcome and somehow channel them for good. We also have to identify our positive midos so we can let it affect everything else in life. And that's actually the greatest bracha. The greatest bracha is knowing who you are. So when we get up to Shemaim after 120, they say, what's your name? Shame. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. We'll be able to answer, this is my name. I knew who I was. I knew my essence. I knew my midos. And I always channeled myself for Avodas Hashem. Last line of Rav Rosner. May we all be blessed with the ability to understand our strengths and weaknesses so we'll be able to achieve our full potential. Thank you so much for learning with me through Sefer Bereishis. I wish everybody a beautiful Shabbat Shalom. Chazak, chazak, v'nit, chazek, kol tov. And thank you to all. I look forward to continuing next week with Parshas Shmos. Kol tov and thank you to all.